Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
So seeing that we're basketball junkies, Randall, how do you want to take these two basketball series in the Eastern Conference? Do you want to inhale it or do you want it like straight to your veins? Like, how do you want it? How do you want this series?
Like a local fiend, man. Just straight up in it.
Straight in the veins?
Straight in the vein, man.
Straight in the veins. Straight in the veins. And by the way, we here at South Shore Ave do not promote drug use in any way. Say no to drugs, kids, and stay in school. It's your best move. Welcome to the Ave Podcast. We got head coach of Team Breakdown's AAU basketball program and COO T Lightskin, Randall Walter, to the show. How you doing
yes,
today?
Yes, sir. We back at it.
We back in the mix. Back in the mix. Well, listen, man, we got the most exciting NBA Eastern Conference semis that we've seen in a very long time.
Man, I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait for this to start, man. Randall, this is true basketball right now.
Randall, like, I don't think I'm missing a minute of this series. It's going to be one of those things where, like, if the kids aren't in bed by, like, 8 o'clock, they're just going to have to go to bed at 10:30 or 11. Like, they're going to have to go to find a way to do it on their own or something because, yeah, I'm not missing a minute of either series right now.
You remember when basketball used to be on it? Was it ABC back in the day?
Yeah,
ABC or NBC?
NBC, NBC,
NBC. Sorry, NBC. And the ball that went in the playoff turn came, and you seen the ball spinning on Magic's finger, and it went to Bird, and it kind of Bird did the back to Jordan to slant. I feel like back in the late '80s, early '90s. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like the feeling of being in that era when basketball, like playoff basketball, was just monstrous. It was like guys like gladiators fighting for something. I feel like we're back to that now.
Maybe
not 100%, but I think the competitiveness is coming back, right? Mm-hmm. Especially on the West Coast. You know, in the West Coast, we talked about it before, man, and that West Coast series was monster with, you know, Portland and OKC. Mm-hmm. You know, even though Philly swept, but they kind of took care of Brooklyn. It was a battle, right?
That was a hard fight.
And now we're gonna see like the Game of Thrones right now, right?
Oh man. And you know what? Like, and what I love about these two series so much is not only have we've basically been waiting for this for like the last 4 or 5 months, but honestly, you don't even know who's really going. I mean, we're gonna break it down, but like, you wouldn't be surprised if any of these teams make it to the conference finals or the finals, because they're all like that good. They're head and shoulders mm-hmm. above the rest of the conference, and really mm-hmm. and really and truly outside of like Golden State and maybe Houston, maybe like they're pretty mm-hmm. much head and shoulders above pretty much everybody else outside of a couple of teams in the West.
Like, men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at who's at the top of the overall league.
Yeah.
It shows, right? I mean, top four teams, you know, I would say the top four teams in the East, it's a balance of power right now, right? I mean, other than Golden State, I mean, I think those four teams could beat any of those teams, top four teams in the West.
I agree. And this will be the first finals if Golden State, you know, ends up making it to the finals again. This will be the first time that they'll actually start the series on the road. Well, at least if Milwaukee or Toronto make it. They'll have to be playing that series on the road to start, which is, I think, that's actually pretty huge. But let's get this started. So we'll start off with Milwaukee and Boston. I don't even know where to begin right now, but I guess I'll ask this question. Like, what excites you most about this series?
Oh, man. I mean, first and foremost, if you watched anything with the regular season, Milwaukee struggled versus Boston. So this is a perfect matchup for Milwaukee, because I think Milwaukee's kind of has rolled through the season. I don't think in a regular season they lost any regular season series, if I'm mistaken, right?
I don't think
and
so.
I think Boston was, I think they drew with Boston. I think it was like if they played four games, it was 2-2. But if you watch the matchup, Boston overall has a better matchup on Milwaukee. And I think, you know, based on the way that Boston looked great in the first round, and I mean, Milwaukee's just Milwaukee, but I really think Boston is dialed in for this playoff, and they have more experience too. I think, you know, one thing that when we did our preseason analysis. Yeah, and we were kind of going through all the teams. I kind of ranked Milwaukee, you know, a little lower than I anticipated, because I really felt that they would come through in the playoffs, but I didn't think the experience was there. I thought they were 1 year away from really competing.
Yeah. Yeah, understandable. And I remember, like, going back to that, referring back to that pod, like, I thought they would be better. I didn't see this, you know, but I thought they would. I thought just the coaching upgrade was gonna be about 5 to 6 more wins easily, and then it goes from there. But I mean, that mushroom that went from 5 to 6 to, I think they were like, it was like a 15 game. I believe it was like a 15 game difference, you know. Because I think last year they only won 45, and this year they ended up with 60. And yeah, I didn't see the 60 wins coming, and I didn't see they would be the only team to even win 60 games like that. I didn't see coming. But I think the thing that excites me the most, honestly, is I can't wait to watch the greatness between Kyrie Irving and the greatness with Giannis. As you mentioned, like, back in the day, 90s basketball, superstar versus superstar, regardless of position, you know, both guys are going to bring it, and it's just going to make the series that more exciting. Like, that's what I can't wait for that, man, in this series.
Gladiators.
Oh, my God.
Gladiator basketball.
Because listen, like, Giannis, this is his first time really and truly in his career where he's got, like, a lot of expectations now. And not just, like, getting better. Meaning, like, putting a team on his back. You know, like, they got championship expectations now. And he's, like, an MVP-level player now. And, like, the expectations that even come with all of that mixed together. This is his first real run at that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you got Kyrie, because this is his first real run with the Celtics in the playoffs, because last year, he missed all of the playoffs with his knee surgery. So so they both kind of got a lot to prove, just in that sense. I know Kyrie's already has a ring, but they got a lot to prove in both of those cases. Like, both. I think Kyrie kind of wants to put this weird kind of season that he had behind him. And I think Giannis just really wants to prove that, like, yo, he's the best player in the game. Like, this is his opportunity to give us another example of why we should be giving him the MVP in June. For me, like, I think both teams got a lot to prove. I truly believe, like, Milwaukee doesn't want this season to go in vain. Like, you know, they don't want to be like the 60-win team that gets knocked out of the second round. And I think for Boston, if they lose this series, it might change the way their whole team looks by next year. You know what I mean? Because Kyrie might leave. You know, like, they may flip for Anthony Davis. Like, we don't know what's going to happen with this team going forward. So no. this is a big thing for them.
The one thing that I'm impressed with is, I mean, as a competitor, and I mean, and you played ball at a high level, and you know, we all have, and really understanding the dynamics of playoff basketball regular season, and if you think about it. What really separates the wolf from the pack is really what, right? There's two things, in my opinion. Is one is consistency, and the second is confidence. And what I mean by that is when you're consistent as a player in any sport, right? Mm-hmm. I know if I'm a linebacker in football, I know I'm stronger and I'm faster than the opponent against me. That's confidence, but it also creates consistency. Right, because you know that every time, you know, you're playing basketball and you look at that guy, you know every time you can take it to the left, take it to the right, and you know that if you hit that elbow, I'm 100% sure I can hit that shot because I've practiced and I know that I'm good enough to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think that Giannis mentally, and I think he's there. I think he's going to show us that he's there. And that's what scares me the most about Milwaukee is his consistency. And more than anything, it's his confidence, right? And again, that's just the preparation that he's put in. And you can see it in his body and in the way that he plays. And not just that, his mentality, right? And even when I was listening to the interview with Kobe, man, and you should – yo, man, like, you know, I never liked Kobe, man, until I watched that doc – was it? He had some type of – documentary or something on him.
Yeah,
I watched the other day, and man, like, his thought process just blew my mind, right? And just the way that he prepared himself, right? You know, like, that, I think he was talking about taking X amount of hours in the gym, and he knew that and it sounded ridiculous, and he's like, I know that I put in that much more than everybody else. So if X, Y, and Z was better than me, I knew that I was as good as him. If someone was just as good as me, I know that I was going to be better than him. Right. So he was always chasing that ghost, right?
Yeah.
And that ghost ended up being himself. So, and my thing is, I remember just hearing an interview with Kobe. Kobe was like, man, that guy called me out the blue to train. And he goes, what blew my mind is we did all these drills and all that, but every time we broke, this guy pulled out a notepad and he's asking me questions. I'm like, why would you ask me that? Mm-hmm. Like, just asking key questions that normal basketball players wouldn't think of, because he was thinking above and beyond of what's next. Yeah. Right. So, and to me, when you hear the preparation, right, and you hear the consistency and you hear the confidence in this man, and you're seeing it evolve in his game. And again, I tell this to my boys, man, you know, it's not just about scoring 30, 40 points in the game. It's, are you able to make everyone around you better? Which I've seen him do this season.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, he's made like Lopez relevant again. Right. He's made some guys that were journeymen relevant again. And that's a true mark of a champion. Right. And, you know, I know we'll get into the next series, but I just don't know if Boston really has that cohesiveness yet, nor has that key element to get them above and beyond. Now, I will admit, of all the teams in the East, I do think at this round, this is an intriguing match, and I think Boston does have a chance to upset them. And I do call it an upset. Some people may not, but I do.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's a beautiful story, Giannis, because you got to think, like, 7-8 years ago, this guy was selling trinkets on the streets of Greece, and now he's about to have his own shoes. He's most likely gonna have his first MVP award. You know, so when you watch like just the way he, like, just when you're watching him play this season, just the way he carries himself, it radiates off the TV screen. You know what I mean? Like, he carries himself like he's the best player in the game. Like, I remember listening to this interview with Kevin Durant, and I forgot what interview it was, but somebody asked him to say, what's the difference that you see with Giannis? Because I remember before, he's been a big fan of Giannis, saying, like, he thinks he could be, like, one of the best players of all time, if not the best, right? So yeah. I asked him, like, what's the thing that's changed with Giannis this season? And he was like, he knows he's Giannis. You know what I mean? Like, that, and I thought that was a great point. He's like, he knows who he is now. He knows his potential. He knows everything, you know, like, he knows he's the best.
Yeah. You
know, and that's how, like, Giannis sees himself. He's like, I'm Giannis.
Wow.
You know, and that's, I mean, you know, like, that's a huge, yeah. When you get to that level as a player and any level, like, that's, it's a beautiful thing, man. With that said, I mean, just before we move on, a couple of points. I think that this is a series where Boston, they actually really need Marcus Smart back. and I'm not 100% sure if he's going to be available for this series.
No, but why wouldn't he? I thought he was back. I thought he would be back.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is he back now? I'm not sure if he's back.
I think he's back.
Is
yeah.
he? Okay.
Yeah.
But they're gonna need his, like, they're gonna need him on the defensive side of the floor this series for sure. And then Malcolm Brogdon is another factor. Like, he's missing the first two games of the series, but he'll be back by like game three or game four. But depending on if he can get his legs back right away, like, that's going to make a huge mark. Like, both teams got a solid bench. I think Boston has the better, you know, the more experience of being there from last year. And I think out of the four teams left in this conference, they're the one team that can flick that switch on both ends of the floor and be the team that we all thought they were going to be in the preseason. But really and truly, outside of, like, you know, and obviously Eric Bledsoe, like, he cannot have the kind of series that he had last year. That's the other part of that too. But really and truly, man, I have a really hard time deciding who's going to have the upper hand in this series. So with that said, who do you got?
I mean, I still think Milwaukee's going to beat them.
Milwaukee and what?
You know what? I want to say Milwaukee in six.
Okay.
You know, but I would not be surprised. You know, it's one of those, if Milwaukee wins, it's going to be, I won't say convincingly, but it's going to be one of those grinded out game six kind of wins. I don't think it's going to go to game seven.
No, okay.
But I don't think so. But out the, on the flip side, I can also see Boston winning in six.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of like make your mind up. Only reason why I give it to the Bucks is just because they have no one that can really stop Giannis.
Yeah. I'm going to say Milwaukee's going to win in seven. I'm not even really comfortable saying that, to be honest with you. But
yeah.
I'm going to go with Milwaukee. But you know, I will say that I think Gordon Hayward is the X factor to me in this series. Like, mm-hmm. if he continues looking like the old Gordon, I think Milwaukee could be in some real trouble. Milwaukee in seven. I'll stick with that.
All right. But we both agree that Boston could win this.
Oh no, absolutely. Absolutely.
So if we listen to this in about a year, we could both look back and say, "Well, we kind of." I know it's kind of one of those things. Yeah. Where I'm not confident that Milwaukee could just go out there and win. I do think if they get rolling, they can pull a back to back win to separate themselves, right? Yeah. And that's the problem. It's how many if someone gets a back to back win, and that's the team that I think can win it all.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm picking Milwaukee, but I'm not comfortable. I say that with I wouldn't say as minimal confidence as possible, but I'm just you know, it's just one of those things, man. Like I wouldn't be surprised either way. I wish I could pick them, but I know you can't. But uh-huh. like I said, but I think Milwaukee home court advantage. They're a little bit deeper. They got a little better cohesion. You know, but I think they should be able to do it. But I just can't wait. I can't wait to watch this series, man.
Well, yeah. I think both like you said, it's gonna be intriguing on both ends.
All right, let's move to Toronto and Philadelphia. Is Ben Simmons gonna have a playoff psychiatrist so that he can properly deal with Kawhi for the 7-game series?
You know what? I think the X factor on this one is Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
I really think if Jimmy Butler ends up doing the things that he we've seen him do in the past, and he kind of bought into this whole Sixer brand of basketball, mm-hmm. I think that he can help the Sixers push him to the limit.
Yeah, I think Ben Simmons is going to be the X factor in this series, because let's look at it like this. In the three games that Kawhi played, Ben turned over, and that's a famous stat we've been hearing over the last few days, but Ben's turned the ball over 24 times. And in one of the games that he played earlier in the season, he had 11 turnovers. Like, mm-hmm. it was at a point where, like, Kawhi would barely let him dribble up the floor. Like, mm-hmm. it was bad. And this is the dirty little secret with Ben Simmons. Like, I love his talent. He's got a lot of potential. But he's not properly developed right now. And I don't care if he's an all-star. And I'm not even talking about his jump shot, which is broken. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he plays point guard. You know, he uses his speed and his size really well, especially the open court. And his vision is, like, second to none. But he's best when he's on the move setting up the offense. But, like, while his handles are good for his size, against Kawhi, your handles has to be super tight. Because... Mm-hmm. Like, Kawhi's a guy that's going to rip even the very best ball handlers of the game. Like, I've seen him pick Steph Curry's pocket, mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, easily, at times. And Ben's handle is not up to that level. I don't care what anybody says. And you're not going to out-muscle Kawhi because Kawhi's really strong. You're not going to outrun him. So you're going to have to beat him with like, your supremely tight skills and precision. And mm-hmm. and I think if it starts getting to the point where you gotta run the offense and take the ball out of his hands, you're delaying the Sixers and getting into their sets, and I think that's gonna be a real issue. Like, and then plus you can show different looks on Simmons, like between Kawhi, Pascal, and even Danny Green sometimes. Like, I'll be honest with you, I'll be surprised if Ben Simmons doesn't get completely exposed in this series.
Well, everything you said right now, I'm amen, because that's why I didn't say he's the X factor, because I don't think he's going to be a factor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see that. I've watched the series, even the last time the Raps played him, and I think the Raps lost the last time. We kind of gave him that game. Yeah. They didn't beat us. We beat ourselves.
And Kawhi didn't play.
And Kawhi didn't play. Secondly is... you know, everyone talks about Embiid being a beast. Embiid's injured.
Yeah.
Right? He's not at full strength.
And he's not in the best of shape.
He's not in the best of shape. And furthermore, he's never played really well versus the Raptors. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's played all right, but not like dominating as we normally see him. And I think Gasol matches up well with him. Even if he does have a good game and neutralizes that a little bit.
Yeah.
you know, if you're just going through the matchups, you know, Tobias Harris, you know, he's good, but I think Pascal can hold up with him.
Yeah, I think so too.
So the only guy left is who?
Yes, Butler, but Kawhi's going to be on him too.
Yeah, Danny Green will be on.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good thing with what the Raptors, you know, especially their starting lineup. They can kind of rotate between those three guys.
Yeah.
Butler's going to see a little bit of everybody too. He's probably not going to see so much Siakam, but he's going to be guarded by Kawhi in this series, and he's going to be guarded by Danny Green in this series. So, mm-hmm. so you're right. Like he's a very important factor. You know.
But on the offensive end, who's going to stop Kawhi? I was listening to some. I think Kendrick Perkins. He said something along that Kawhi reminds of Jordan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far. I think maybe if he's alluding to his dominance or or kind of how he's doing, he's picking apart teams. I think they're two different styles of games. I don't think Jordan's a little more fluid. You know, they're both athletic, but I think it's a different type of athleticism, right? Mm-hmm. Like Jordan was a different type of athlete than Kawhi, yeah. right? I think Kawhi's a little more stronger, explosive. Jordan was just more finesse and with explosiveness. But I mean, it's kind of more
ruthless.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go as far as to say ruthless. I think Kawhi has it's two different mindsets and styles. I think Kawhi has shown some ruthlessness mm-hmm. in his own way, in his
yeah,
own
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
And I think you know everyone was complaining about Kawhi resting, but I think this is you know he has to show and prove because this is the whole method of load management is to really load him up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So this is where we have to see that MVP type of Kawhi Leonard come out and carry this team to at least the conference finals or NBA finals for that matter, which I think he can.
Yeah, right? I think
we're seeing that he's a different player. He's a different team when he's dialed in than it is with DeRozan dialed in. I mean, I feel a lot more confident with Kyrie and with Kawhi at the helm. Than when DeRozan was around.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and you know what, Randall? Like, at the same time, I've been saying this, like, throughout the year. If the Raptors lose in the playoffs, especially going from this point on, I don't think it's necessarily, it will be disappointing, yes, because you want them to go to the finals. But the reason why I say that is because if they lose, it's because the other team was just better. It's not going to be because they shot themselves in the foot. It's not going to be because, you know, like, Kawhi cracked under the pressure or Lowry cracked under the pressure or you know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be one of those scenarios where, you know, it's going to be because, you know what? Philly just played them better. Philly was just a better team. You know what I mean? It's going to be that. Because, like, with Kawhi, like, and just to go to your point, this is who Kawhi's going to be. Kawhi's already a superstar. Kawhi's, you know, we already know that. But, like, how he played in Orlando series and how he's just dominant, like, this is Kawhi going forward. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. So, like, you know, people who aren't used to him, get used to this level. Like, this is it. Like, this is where he's going to be. It's how everybody's going to match up with him is the question.
Yeah, but the most interesting part about this all is Kawhi could be – see, the good thing about it is also the emergence of Pascal Siakam because yeah. – and I'm not saying Pascal's the type of guy that could carry a team, but what I'm trying to say is great to have another – like a baby Kawhi almost, like mm-hmm. You know, like an apprentice under the wing, kind of like Jordan and Scotty, right? You could shut down Kawhi, but the problem is now when everyone's concentrating on Kawhi, where's the matchup going to be with another athletic type of, you know, they're very similar in their games now. Like they're developing into, you know, very similar type of players in their own rights and own respects, right? So mm-hmm. you concentrate all your efforts with your best, because they're both kind of like that mold of a four body that could play the two or the three, right? And if you have your biggest, most athletic, best defender on Kawhi, who are you going to put on Pascal?
I know.
So that's why you see what happens is it's you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And what I love about this is now you don't have and I get it. You know what? I heard everyone saying, well, you know, Larry has to be the second best player on the Raptors to win. No. Larry has to be on some nights the second best.
And he's got to be aggressive.
He has to be the third.
Yeah.
He has to be the third. But now, what people – and I think people, you know, are forgetting on the Raptors side what the X factor is. I think it's Gasol.
Yeah.
Come on. I know he's a little older. You know, he's a little bit, he's a little older. And he's still Gasol, and he still can put in some of that work.
He can,
right? I mean, that we're talking about a player that averaged 20 and 10 in Memphis, and he was averaging. He was probably some of his best numbers at the beginning of I think it was this season.
Yeah,
when they were, you know. So listen, he could still do some damage out there, and he could still be the. And some nights he could be the third or the second best player on the court, right? So like, we got to consider all factors, right? You know, and I think that if you round it out, you got some good depth coming off the bench, you know. I wish we could have done a little bit more, you know, in regards of getting some more size to back up.
Gasol,
Gasol, I thought we should have got Gortat. You know, I mean, I don't know what the implications were on that. I mean, you know, I think we could have got a big body to plug in the middle, especially in playoff time, because it's a grinded out type of game. It's not regular season basketball. You're talking about someone to come in to be a big body, to give your big skills a rest. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes, depending on the matchups, and if you look further down the line, it wouldn't be far-fetched to have, you know, sometimes a Gortat and an Ibaka on the court together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying in, like, monstrous stretches. I'm saying, but, you're looking for, like, someone to give, like, especially in a series like this with Embiid, you need a big body to go against him, just a big burly body to press up against him. And you know, Gasol can't do that for a whole 30 over 35 minutes. You know, you get Gortat playing at least 10 minutes against him or 8 minutes against him. That gives you a little bit of a buffer. And we're not asking for much, right? We're just asking for to give him what he can give.
Give some fouls and just give some girth on him. Yeah.
He was playing all right. Like, listen, I was watching some of the Clipper games. Gortat didn't hurt them.
Yeah.
Just didn't match the style of play.
I'm just
Gortat didn't hurt them.
I'm surprised nobody picked them up, though. Like, I remember saying that earlier to you before. I'm surprised
nobody
picked them up.
I thought the Celtics would. No, I mean, I just think right now, you know, a lot of it falls down to, you know, everyone talks about the Sixers and what they got. But, like, you know what I mean? Take away foul trouble. You take away, you know, some of their synergies. You expose some of their weaknesses. You know, they don't got that rotation the Raptors do, you know, because I think that's where the Raptors pull away, is when they put their bench in, a lot of times that they're able to sustain things.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Philly, from what I saw against Brooklyn, that's when they struggled.
Mike Scott was like a big factor for them in that series. But
yeah.
But to touch on what you're saying with Gasol, like, I think if Gasol can stay out of foul trouble, I think and just continue to provide that presence, I don't want to go as far as to say he's Embiid's kryptonite, but you know, Embiid has a really hard time against him. Like, even this season, his worst stats was against Gasol. Like, Gasol matches up with him really well, because even though he looks slow, he moves his feet, he positions himself really well, and he's strong. And there's going to be points where you don't have to necessarily double team Embiid, because he can stay with him one on one. You know, and I mean, the biggest thing is, you're not going to fully, you know, shut down Embiid. You just want to make him really work. Mm-hmm. And then on the opposite end, you know, he's got moves in the post. He can shoot the three. You know what I mean? So he can keep him out of the lane at times. And, like, I think it's really important. But here's the thing I just want to ask you before we decide on who's going to win this series. Am I the only one that thinks Kyle is going to have a good series? Because I'm like, yo, and the reason why I ask is because, well, actually, you know what? I'll ask you the question. Am I the only one thinking Kyle's going to have a good series here?
Listen, I'm not surprised that if he would. I mean, listen, it's Philly, right? So there's that personal kind of.
He's going home.
You know, he's going home, right?
Going
you know,
home.
He plays, from what I remember, he plays fairly well again, you know, in Philly.
Right.
You know, listen, you know, Lowry got a lot of flack for game one. I'm going to tell you something. Larry hasn't always been the guy that's played bad for the Raptors in the playoffs.
I agree
with
that,
too. He's been okay. I'm not saying he's been great. He's been okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's been more DeRozan, you know, dropping goose eggs than it was, you know, Larry.
And
the problem is sometimes they drop goose eggs together.
Right.
That was their downfall.
Right.
He's in a different role now, Calvin. He doesn't need to be the guy. Like, I don't.
Exactly.
I hear analysts saying he needs to be the second player. He doesn't.
No,
okay,
he doesn't.
He's our all-star. But he doesn't. It's a different team, man.
I agree, Randall. And you know what? you know, they were all stars, you know, but they're asked to be a superstar. So it's almost like they're being they're almost above their pay grade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where mm-hmm. but now he's in his proper role. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? He's in his proper role. Like, you're not asking him to get 20, 25 a night, but you know, you make sure he's running the offense. He's playing hard defense. You know what I mean? He's being a leader out there. Like, mm-hmm. the biggest thing with him is he has to continue to stay aggressive. He can't mm-hmm. just be like, because he's not the second or the first or second option, he can't mm-hmm. be like, I'm going to shoot 4 shots tonight. Like, he can't do that. Mm-hmm. But he's got, you know, he's got to get like 10 to 15 shots up. But mm-hmm. but again, it's he's in a different role. Like, he's like, now he's on his pay grade level. You know what I mean? Like, now Kawhi takes that role. You know what I mean? Kawhi's the guy now. So that's fine. That's what you want. So that's why I'm like, I keep saying the same thing. Like, I know everybody was freaking out in game one, but same thing. I'm like, well, yeah, it's a bad loss. I don't know why they keep losing, you know, for the first game in every series all the time. But I'm like, but you know, what like I said, I'll say this in the previous podcast. What I loved is looking at Kawhi. Like, Kawhi's just so calm. And I know that's his personality, but that shit lends itself over in situations like this. He's been there. He's won. You know what I mean? He mm-hmm. sees him. He may not tell the public this, but he sees himself as the best player. So, you know what I mean? As long as he believes that, like, the team's going to go far. Mm-hmm. But with that said, to wrap up, like, who do you got, man? Who do you got?
Man, if I was a betting man, I would bet more. But I think Raptors in six.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I have the same thing, too.
Yeah, I think Raptors in six. I think that they, you know, my hope is that they could split. Like, again, it comes back to the who wins those back-to-back games. And it may happen, and I'll be honest, it may happen for both of them, right? Mm-hmm. But I think Raps can sneak two away from home. Philly goes up one at home. Raptors take the third. They come back to Toronto. You know, Philly takes it, and then they, you know, and then they take it in Philly.
Yeah, I can see it. Like I said, like I think I agree with you. I think the Raptors is in six. I think they're just they're a bit of a deeper team. Kawhi's Kawhi. I know Embiid's Embiid, but like, Kawhi's Kawhi, and then who's gonna stop Spicy P's motor? That motor is never gonna stop, and that energizes his game. That's like the fact that he plays hard is what fuels his game. He never really has mm-hmm. like bad nights, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I, like I said again, I think Simmons is the X factor. Like, if Simmons comes out and proves me wrong and plays really well, not only will I be stunned, but that's going to really change the series. But I just don't see it. I think, honestly, I think he's going to be exposed to the fact that he's going to have to be looking at himself in the mirror this summer. And I think last year, there was a little rumblings of, yeah, you know, he's got to work on a jump shot and all this stuff. But this, I think after this series, I think the analysts are going to be going in on him. Like after this series is over, because I think they're going to dissect this game to the point where it's like, people are going to be questioning, like, why is this guy an all-star? You know, I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to see that to happen. On that note, brother, thank you for coming on the podcast. This is bite-sized preview that we're putting out today. You know, conference finals. You know, we'll break that down again.
Yeah, man. I mean, ideally, I would love to see the Raps in Boston. Mm-hmm. That would be the best scenario to see. The Raps finally go to at least one finals.
Yeah, I wanna see. I actually, you know what? Ideally, it doesn't matter to me either way. I think if the Raptors meet up against either Boston or Milwaukee, I'm good. Because you know what? We didn't really get a chance during the regular season to see the greatness of Kawhi versus the greatness of Giannis. You know, mm-hmm. during the year, other than I think one game. So to get to be able to see that for seven games, like I want to see the contrasting styles between the two of them, and I think and there's going to be points in the series where they're going to be guarding against each other. So that's going to be interesting. I kind of want to see that a little more than Boston. But trust me, I ain't going to be mad if they're playing Boston. I won't be mad at that at all. Thank you for tuning in to the AV Podcast. I definitely appreciate you all for listening to the show today. A special shout out goes out to Randall Walter for coming on the AV to help break down the Eastern Conference semi-conversations. If you're a basketball fan, look, man, the Eastern side can possibly be legendary. And with that said, We kind of have to see how the West is going to situate itself, but I'm hoping that Denver makes it out and faces Portland. I think that's going to be a crazy series. And Golden State and Houston is going to be real nice as well. The playoffs, I'm hoping, you know, can keep the same energy all the way through June, but I really can't say it enough, man. I really can't wait for the Eastern Conference semifinals to start this weekend. Now, due to prior scheduling commitments, we'll be back up for Game 3 of the Raptors-Sixers series for the Raptors post-game pods. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Make sure you continue to check out the latest episodes, especially my latest one called Westbrook. It's self-explanatory. But we also discussed Dame Lillard's iconic three-pointer. And also check out the latest episode of My Story featuring Zaria Santiago, the University of Maryland track star, who shares a story about the beginnings of her young career and a love affair with track. And you can listen and subscribe to South Shore Ave on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Stitcher. And make sure you rate and review the shows as well. And to catch up on my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Randall Walter, this is Cal C. And you've just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Av Radio. Until next week, folks. Peace. Y'out.